Blog Talk Radio.
Elizabeth Hale. She's written books about ancient sounds and the voice and releasing the voice. We'll be with her in just a few moments. I have a couple of announcements. We are sponsored by the Sound Health Research Institute, located in Albany, Ohio, in the heart of Appalachia. Please do stop by if you get near. We're straight across the state from Cincinnati. We are also doing dual broadcasting. Those of you who would like to watch the show as well as listen to it can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, click on radio, and it will give you a bit of information about the show and then how to go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show as well as watch the show. We had a wonderful session on Happy Hour last Tuesday. It was about detox. So many people were interested in that and the software that we've put it up in our archives so that you can go listen to the show again. So to watch that, still go to soundhealthoptions.com. Click on the little orange postage stamp, kind of happy hour, on the bottom right-hand side. And you can go down to the bottom, and it will say Happy Hour Archives. Click here. For those of you that we did your vocal prints right online, it's a good way for you to go back and pick up again and listen again to what we were able to say to you online, and we're also happy that we were able to send you your report. The detox program is one that I think is very needed because of Fukushima, because of GMOs, because of preservatives, pesticides, excuse me, and all the stuff they put into our food. Okay, if you want to call in and ask Susan a question, our Blog Talk call-in is 347-850-1407. For those of you who want to ask a question, you can put it in the chat at the WebEx that we are broadcasting the video with. Thank you for the comments about the audio is good at Blog Talk. Sometimes on WebEx, the audio gets a little weird, and we really don't know why. Thank you for all of you on our chat. It's great to see all of you here. Let me see, what else announcements do I have? Oh, we've got a new program coming up on leptin. I did all the detox and with people about weight loss, and now we're starting on what allows the body to lose weight. So leptin and all of its receptors have been decoded. So if any of you are interested in using that information or becoming part of that research project, please get in touch with me at sherryedwards@gmail.com, and that's Sherry with an A, Sharry, at Gmail. We are going to be adding that detox to our Guardian program. And the Guardian program is once a month we meet and we have a two-hour class and we provide you the software and then leave that software and class up for you to watch if you missed it. And we only give Guardian members a link to that. You can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to Guardians of the People, and join up. And when you join, you get 2 computer programs, and then each month you get another computer program. We also have 2-day courses coming up with free software. If you're interested in that, let us know. And I want to tell you about one, I'm just smiling at some of the chat comments here. We had a lady in last week, and she could have passed for 50, 60, she was 89 years old. A spry lady, a very coherent, cool mind, came in, and she had macular degeneration. She was losing her eyesight. And that's all she said on her vocal print, or on her application to be seen there. And we were doing some studies on macular degeneration. We're continuing our Parkinson's program. But we looked at her voice print, and it had circulation issues, obvious circulation issues. And when we hooked her up to biofeedback equipment to test some of the sound, her heart was in the low 40s. Low 40s. She couldn't have possibly had a pacemaker or anything like that. And I didn't know what to say to her. I thought maybe my equipment was not working, because low 40s, she shouldn't be able to get up and out of the chair. But we looked at it, and she had taurine in stress. More than that, she had a bacteria called Chlamydia pneumoniae, and it had attacked her heart sac. And this is something that a lot of conventional medicine folks overlook. It was attacking the heart and the heart sac. We were able to increase her heart rate by 10, 12 points just by giving her an antidote to that Chlamydia pneumoniae. She also had taurine in strength, which is the amino acid for the heart. But it was very secondary to her macular degeneration. I am just absolutely amazed that every time I do an evaluation for anybody, and I only get the worst of the worst because we're like the foundational center of this entire protocol. So when everybody else can't do it, they send them on to us. I just find it amazing that you can look at the frequencies of the voice and see what's going on. I think everyone should have access to these ideas about how important the voice is to our continued survival. And with that in mind, I would like to introduce our guest, Susan Elizabeth Hale, author of Sacred Bass, Sacred Sound. And you see, for those of you who are watching the broadcast, you see a picture of her book there. Welcome to the show, Susan Elizabeth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
This is a gorgeous picture of you hugging this rock. Is this taken in England?
Yes, that was in England. That was actually the Castlerigg Stone Circle up in the Lake District several years ago.
Also understand that you are doing a project with trees.
Yes. I created something and posted it on Facebook 3 years ago called Earth Day Sing for the Trees, thinking that I might have 100 or so of my friends join. And I was delighted that over 4,000 people from 39 countries sang to trees. And they were sharing pictures and telling stories of how the trees that they were singing to. And in fact, that's how I met my husband, because he sang to trees and sent me some beautiful pictures of the trees he sang to. So here I am. The trees brought me to England.
So do you think that trees and rocks and places all have a voice?
Yes, I do. I believe that nature has a voice and that we need to sensitize our hearing in order to get beyond our human constructs about what is sentient and what isn't, and really listen to the vibration that we hear within rocks, within stones, within ancient trees, within the trees in our own backyard.
There is another component that you have added recently. I'm going to put up a couple of pictures. This is a Kmal step pyramid in Yucatan, Mexico, and I think you've written about that. And the pyramids of Itzan Itza, I can't even pronounce
Actually,
it.
I haven't been to Mexico. I was in Egypt and was able to sing in the Great Pyramid of Giza and also the Red Pyramid of Dahshur.
Well, I'm looking at sacred sounds, sacred spaces, and these are just some of the things that people have built in honor of sound and sacred space and sacred architecture. People are asking in the chat, do you have a Facebook that they could go look at now?
Oh, yes, I am on Facebook. You can find me in several places, Susan Elizabeth Hale. You can also find me on a Songkeeper page, and I also have a page about my book, Sacred Space, Sacred Sound. So those are three places to see me on Facebook, as well as Sing for the Trees and Chanting the Land. It's a group on Facebook that I have.
Okay, we are looking at something, I think, from last year, Sounding the Equinox. This is the type of thing that you do with people. Do you have any of those coming up? People could join?
I will be leading some week-long experiences in Turkey next year, both different times in the summertime. I think the first one is in June and the second one is in August. And unfortunately, I don't have all the information. They're still in the process of setting those up. But I will be in Turkey. So people can write to me at songkeeper.net or susong@yahoo.com, and I'll put them on a mailing list and let them know when that Turkey trip is happening.
That is great. Susan Elizabeth Hale, and they can get in touch with you through your Facebook. They can just write to you.
I believe that you can do that through Facebook.
I think so.
Going to my Songkeeper site might be a little easier.
Okay, we're saying there is some lost sound in our WebEx. Can you, can somebody who's on the chat help Joan with her sound? Okay. Well, I have so many good questions coming
right.
in.
Right.
Incredible questions. First, I want to lay some foundation of how you got started in this. And also, a big question is if these sacred sites have a voice, is it the same kind of voice that we as humans express through our vocal cords?
Wow. That's a pretty big question. Let's start with the easy ones first and then go to those. That's a very profound question. I got started in this work. My mother said that I sang before I talked. So the whole language of singing and making sound was one that is very natural to me. And my mother also taught me to sing harmony in the car. And so singing was just something that I always did. And when I was trying to decide what to do with my career, I actually was looking in going into literature, English literature, or psychology. And I went to an astrologer and he said, go into psychology because you're going to be doing something I don't even have words for. You're going to be working with singing and music and art and movement as a therapy. And this was in the early 1970s. so I was living in Northern California, going to this astrologer, and he was saying, study psychology, and once you do that, just start asking questions. So when I first started asking questions about, is there something called music therapy, none of my psychology professors had heard of it, but finally one did. And he said, yes, there's a National Association for Music Therapy. There's one for art therapy. I started writing and looking away at, this was before the internet, so I had to actually send letters and receive answers back through snail mail to find out that these careers existed. So I became a registered music therapist, and then I also took a path with working with the Bonnie method of guided imagery and music and became a trainer in that method. But at some point, what happened for me was that early experience of singing just kept coming back, that that is my true work in working with the voice and helping people find their voices.
Susan, because many people. Could you move back a little bit from your microphone? We're getting some puffing.
Okay, is this better?
That's better. Great. Okay.
Okay, great.
Please go on. I'm sorry I had to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. So, yes, finding your voice. Many people have been given messages that they can't sing. They've been told things like, there are listening birds and there are singing birds. You're a listening bird. One woman went to school in a Catholic school, and the nuns listen to all the children and then pins dots to them. And if you got a blue dot, you were a singer. And if you got a white dot pinned to you, it meant that you didn't have a good voice and you weren't a singer. So this woman, who at this point was a girl, had that experience for 8 years in a row. She got the white dot, which took her voice. And another person I worked with, her brother told her that she sounded like a crow in a tin can when she sang. So that stopped her from singing. And until much later in life, she was a pianist and also a Franciscan nun. And they said, Sister Cecily, you need to be doing something with your music. And she decided that she would start exploring voice, and she came and worked with me for 2 years. Well, she's working now on the Crow Reservation in southern Montana, working with Crow people. So the Crow came out of the tin can, and the Crow people have honored her in ceremony and given her the right to sing Native Crow songs that come through dreams. So Sister Cecily now is singing Crow songs after she found her voice and went through that painful process of acknowledging that those things happened and that she did shut down. She's given me permission to tell her story. And that's what happens. Many of us shut down, and we feel like we have no voice. And the voice is the carrier, a deep carrier of who we are. It expresses our emotions, our beliefs, our truth, our power. And to not have a voice, we lose something very vital about who we are. So one of the things that I do now is help people find their voices.
That's incredible, and it brings up a couple of questions that have come in from the chat. One, that the answer to your question, Nancy, is yes, you can make singers out of, she can help you make you a singer. And the other question that has come in this one is on my email, does everybody have to sing at 440, or can we have our own scale?
Well, one of the things about working, I work a lot with vocal toning, which is a very simple but profound technique. All you do is you breathe in through the nose, breathe out through the mouth, and you allow sighs, sounds, drones to emerge. The longer you do that, you elongate them into tones. And the beautiful thing about toning is you're in tune with yourself. You're exploring your own scale. You're finding those sounds that are most natural to you. So you're not trying to fit in to a key or a frequency. You're really following what you're feeling inside and allowing that to come forth. So you're always in tune with yourself in that respect.
Do you think that the people who are in tune with themselves sometimes are out of tune with other people? Because it's like a tuning fork. You know, and this is a question from the chat, too. There are people who use tuning forks, but they're all tuned to, like, one scale. And what if you're a little off? Should you try to force yourself into the normal scale for everyone? Or is having your own scale okay?
Well, I don't work as much with tuning forks. And when I sing, I'm singing really naturally. I'm singing a cappella. So I'm not really trying to fit in to a particular model or a particular frequency. But, you know, you do bring up a question that we each do have our own unique frequencies, our own unique sound signatures. And, yes, we can be in tune and out of tune with ourselves or with others. Certainly, the culture that we live in, the Western industrialized culture, which is very based on all kinds of frequencies. We're talking over computers to each other, so we're influenced by those frequencies, and those sorts of things put us out of tune because we're in training to the strongest frequencies. So the other thing that I love so much about vocal toning is it helps you recenter yourself. It helps you retune yourself.
For those of you who are having a little bit of trouble listening on WebEx, I have put up information on WebEx of where you can click and go listen to the sound live. There's a little bit of reverb, a little bit of distortion on Susan Elizabeth's mic, so it might be a little clearer for you directly through Blog Talk. A question, is the tuning fork concept just an academic concept? Natural toning is that natural, yes? I think you've answered part of that, that we each have our own scale. Richard, would you repost that? People are asking us to post the questions, and you've posted to that privately. So, okay. Also, a comment, audio on Blog Talk Radio is clean. So for those of you on WebEx with us, go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, to radio and one of the top links, and there is a link for you to go directly to Blog Talk. We are going to be showing some pictures. We're going to be listening to Susan Elizabeth's voice, which I think would be appropriate now since we're talking about our own scales and our own tuning. I'm going to play Rosa Mystica. You want to tell us about that afterwards or before we play it?
Well, I'll talk about it before.
Okay.
That song came, it was totally improvised. I had just come back from singing at Chartres Cathedral, and I was asked by a friend of mine to be a vocalist on an album that he was putting together for hospice called Hearts to the Sun. And so I had just met Christine Toulis, who is this wonderful harpist, and we just began to improvise, and what I was doing is I was going back to the feeling of what it was like to be in Chartres Cathedral and sing. I was told to through my guidance system to follow the Lady of Roses and follow her music, and that's what took me to Chartres and to sing to the Black Madonna. So this song comes out of that experience, that heart experience.
Robert, can you put in the chat what numbers you're meaning? Because we don't understand. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and play this beautiful piece. And this is Susan Elizabeth chanting. Rosa Mystica is available from Hearts to the Sun, and songkeeper.net is where you can find that. There is another beautiful clip, incredible clip, that is very inspiring for me. Other people will like other pieces that Susan Elizabeth has done. This is the one that inspires me. And it started without me, so I'll back it up just a little bit. Listen to how she joins the voices. That's incredible, the way the voices are compounded upon one another. And at the same time, it leads me to so many of the questions that are in the chat room. That, one, how do you find your voice? Two, why is the voice important? And three, how can we combine it with those people that we love and the things that we want for our nation and our world.
Oh, those are, yes, beautiful, beautiful questions. Well, to find the voice, I think first it's important to know the story of your voice, to maybe write down in your journal, what is the story of your voice? What messages were you told about your voice? Not just about singing, but many times people have been told they're too sensitive, too emotional, too intense. They need to tone down. All of these things are messages that we might feel like, well, we're not okay with who we are. We're not all right with the voices that we have, so we better change. We better shut down. And so to find the voice, it's important to know those stories, but also take the risk to break through that and to say, hey, you know, that was just one person. That was one teacher, whether they were a music teacher or, you know, a sibling or a parent. That's really an abusive message to tell somebody that they're tone deaf or that they have no voice. And so, you know, another step is really confronting that and saying, it's okay for me to have the voice that I have. It's okay for me to sing in the shower. Most people do sing in the shower. They sing in the car. They make up songs, but they don't share those songs with other people. A lot of people sing to trees or sing out in nature and don't let anybody else know because there's kind of an embarrassment about singing. So to find your voice, that simple thing that I described of breathing in through the nose, breathing out through the mouth, three times, allowing sound to ride on the out-breath, and just explore. See where your voice wants to go, where it takes you. So The bathroom's a great place to do that.
I love elevators and stairways.
Elevators, stairways, parking lots, you know, underground parking lots. Great places to explore the voice, yes.
We have your
so
site.
That was,
we're looking at some of your songs, Heart of the Sun, Circles the Earth with Song, some other
things.
Yeah. And we'll be looking at that as we answer some more of these questions. One, the question comes in, how do trees show their appreciation for you singing to them?
Well, before I answer that question, I'd like to go back to that question you asked with three parts, and one of them is, how can we join together? And I think that we can join together wherever we are. We can, my husband Ian and I often sing the names of people that are hurting or are ill. And so singing somebody's name is one way of sending love. The thing for the trees is noon, wherever you are on the planet. Sing to your favorite trees. Sing to the tree in your backyard or go to a forest and sing to those trees. So all of our voices joined, even if it's one person. One woman wrote to me about Sing for the Trees, that she was very ill, and she just looked at the tree in her backyard that she looked at through her bedroom window and sang to that tree. And in order to I think the second part of that question was, do trees show their appreciation to us? I think lots of times when we reach out to nature, nature finds a way to reach back out to us. When I sang at White-Leafed Oak, a 1,000-year-old oak tree here at the end of the Malvern Hills, just after Earth Day, because we did our Earth Day this year there, I looked down, there was a little tiny heart of oak. It was a part of the bark that was right at my feet. So for me, that was one way that the tree was showing its appreciation. Sometimes inwardly, I will see nature spirits. I don't see them with my outer eyes, but I will see them and feel them and sense them with my inner eyes and with my inner ears. So I do believe that trees do show their appreciation to us. But we need to listen. We need to deepen our awareness and really reach out.
So how do we reach out and become in harmony with other people? Like in the United States right now, there is a great divide over what is happening with our government. People are feeling like integrity of the whole has been lost, and people are kind of adrift. Would you suggest that we come together with singing circles, or do you have
singing circles? Yes, singing circles, joining groups of other people, creating a singing circle. You know, if we look at the great political things that were happening during the civil rights movement, that movement became launched really through singing. All of the spirituals and the freedom songs, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round, We Shall Overcome, all of those sorts of songs really helped promote the freedom for African American people through singing.
We have a question. Do you ever teach online classes? So I've gone to your site, songkeeper.net, and to the videos, and there are several videos of you, Tony, and singing. Can you suggest one that would help people? And we have...
Well, there's one video that I have on there is all about vocal toning. So that's a 10-minute video, and people can watch that and listen and tone along with it. So that's a very good one. That's probably the one video that I have up that is more instructional. Others are songs that I've created.
Can you talk about the Michael and Mary chants and sounds?
Yes, and if you go to my songkeeper.net page on the videos, you'll see one called Michael and Mary. I came to a conference in Sintorin many, many years ago, and this one man told me about the Michael and Mary lines, which run throughout southern England from coast to coast, from the end of Cornwall, Land's End, all the way up to the other coast. And the Michael and Mary lines were dowsed by these two dowsers, and they wrote a book. And what they found was that the St. Michael line went to high places that were dedicated to St. Michael, and the Mary line went to chapels dedicated not only to Virgin Mary, but to Mary Magdalene, and to Holy Well. And so I was very inspired by that and wrote a song, Oh, Won't You Go Weaving with Michael and Mary, Won't You Go Weaving the High and the Low, Oh, Won't You Go Weaving with Michael and Mary, Weave in the heavens with the deep wells below. So I wrote that song when I was living in New Mexico. I heard it on a drive. I just heard these words and I heard the melody. And then when I came to England the next year, I was able to go to several places like Avebury and Glastonbury where the Michael and Mary lines cross and the energies are very, very powerful, to sing that song at that site. There's also a woman named Donnie Fox who actually had a group of earth singers singing all along the Michael and Mary lines on May 5th this last year. And they had also had people who were dowsing the sites before and after the Michael and Mary chant was sung. And they found an increase in the magnetism and the power of the earth through singing these chants.
That's incredible. So there's lots of videos here, so people could just bring you right into their computer and learn a lot of this information. Do you have, you've said on the, let me go back to home on your page here, wait, something that intrigues me. Gain the confidence to speak your truth. So, yes, it's about singing. Yes, it's about releasing, but also speaking the words that are really you. Can you talk about that for a few minutes?
Yes, one of the things that I found when I was teaching in New Mexico, because I had a women's group that was ongoing for 5 years, and we toned pretty much the entire time. The reports that I got back from the women were that through working with the vocal toning and with chanting and opening up the voice in these other ways, it had this real profound carryover to opening up the throat chakra and being able to bring up difficult subjects in relationships or to ask for what was needed, or to take a stand and to speak truth. We all have an inner truth, and lots of times we are very scared and frightened about sharing that truth with others because we're afraid we're going to be made wrong. And so the opening up of the throat chakra through vocal toning does carry over. It does open up our words and the power of our words to impact other people.
Sounds like it opens the power of our soul and our own emotions,
yes,
our integrity.
Yes.
To not only find their voice, but to find their truth.
Finding your voice, finding your truth, for me, they're synonymous.
Well, one of the things that we always taught at the university when I taught parapsychology there was to seek rejection. And in that way, people were winning by seeking things that they thought people would judge them for, but most of the time they found that there was not judgment, so that helped free their voice and free their truth. One of the things I see when you're... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that happened for me, I mean, I did get wonderful messages growing up about my singing voice, but I didn't get wonderful messages about my emotional life and my sensitivity. I was told I was too sensitive and too emotional. So I've kind of learned to fit in with my voice. I learned to kind of sing in the choirs and fit in. And when I started working with vocal toning myself, and opening up deeper parts of who I am, deep, you know, kind of the inner cauldron of my truth, it was a scary moment. And I did a ritual inviting only my closest women friends. And I asked them each to bring beads. And I gave them each a bead. And I did this ritual where I stood in front of them, put my hands on each of my chakras, and toned what I felt in those chakras. And I was so scared to do that, but when I did it, everyone came forward and just listened. It was a huge, huge breakthrough for me.
It's incredible.
So everybody can do that.
It's incredible how you're explaining this ability to free yourself allows you to touch others. I think that's...
It does. I think when we're so afraid of being vulnerable, but when we allow our vulnerability to show, that's actually what cracks people open. It melts people. It allows people to really glimpse a deep part of your soul, and that touches people. And it doesn't matter whether you have a technically beautiful voice. Whatever voice you have, think of your grandmothers who may have sung lullabies to you. They might not have had really beautiful voices, but we were comforted by that voice because it was the heart voice.
I'm noticing, I agree with you totally and love the idea, but I see something on your site that I want everybody to see. So go to songkeeper.net, and on the first page there is a rock, looks like in the desert. And you can tell it has an Indian nose. It's a profile rock of a face. You can see the eyes and the eye ridge and the open mouth.
The open mouth.
Where is this?
It's a rock in Utah. It's taken by a very talented photographer that I worked with for quite a while. In fact, he did this cover to my other book, Sacred Space, Sacred Sound. And his name is George Mark Chevenet. He's also on Facebook. And I had never got to go to that particular rock, but one of the things that Mark did was he would go out and he would seek out the nature spirits. He would ask them, please show yourself to me. And the light would shift, and then he would see these incredible images. So that's one.
Would you put his name in the chat that you and I are having here, and I will transfer it to the chat for everyone else. Do you think these mystical places that you have written about help people find their voice? Can you go there and be assisted?
Yes, you can, but first you have to kind of break through, and I had to do this too. When I went to Chartres Cathedral, I was asked on the inner to go there to sing to the Black Madonna, and there's a part of me that, you know, who am I? I'm not worthy. How can I go, you know, just this one person and sing there alone? So it's another kind of thing of making yourself vulnerable and following your passions and following your dreams. And once I did go there and I did ask specifically the spirits and the energy of Chartres Cathedral, may I sing? I introduced myself, you know, silently. I said, I'm Susan Elizabeth Hale. I'm a song keeper. I'm a rose woman. I'm a book woman, I'm a word woman, and I'm here to sing. May I sing? And I heard, yes. So when I sang, it was as if my voice went to the far end of the cathedral and came back and showered me, infilled me with so much more than my voice. I felt all the voices that had sung in Chartres Cathedral had joined my voice there as well. And the wisdom within those stones, because sacred sites are built out of stone, and stone has often has a crystalline matrix that stores memory. So the memories within that cathedral, or the memories in a cave, or the memories within any sacred site that's built out of rock, when you sing in those sites like West Kennet Long Barrow and Avebury, is an incredible acoustic place to sing and to find your voice.
Does each one of these sites have a different sound?
Yes, it does, and it's unique to the place. It's unique to the size and the structure, the stones that it's built out of. It's unique to also to the time of year that you're going. It's unique to when you go yourself and where you are, and all of the wonderful astrological alchemy that happens when you arrive in a place, in a sacred space.
You talk about feeling other people's sounds and it just comes to you. Does that happen in a sacred space for you? I mean, how do you get in tune?
Yes, it does. And the process for me was when I learned to tone myself, when I learned to listen to myself and give voice to what I found there, it helped sensitize my hearing, that when I worked with other people, I would hear sound within them, sometimes unexpressed sound, and then that sensitized my hearing even more. This is the gift of being sensitive, to being at a sacred space and listening in silence to the sounds that are there that you can then give voice to. Sometimes you're giving your voice to yourself in that space, but sometimes after you've arrived and deepened into that place, you're joined by much more than yourself.
Well, how do you tune in and listen to yourself?
That is a really big question, and that's something that we all really need to be responsible for and find ways to do that. Nobody really said to me in my upbringing, oh, listen to the wonder inside of you. Nobody said that. Nobody said, oh, you can hear what a tree is singing to you. Nobody said that. It was a process. Most people are told, well, listen to yourself. Well, just listen to yourself in a demeaning way. So it really is a process of you know, if the listeners who are here will begin to tone in you have the bathroom, a wonderful place to tone, by a river, by a stream, by a waterfall, then it really, and stay there long enough to get that ego voice out of the way, which says I'm in self-conscious, what am I doing, people are going to think this is strange. But we do have these capacities to be highly sensitive acoustic receptors of the world around us.
It's a
process of listening.
There are so many questions coming in. One person said, I found my voice by starting to hum first, and once I got comfortable with humming, then I could open my mouth and sing. Another
humming is wonderful. Yeah.
Another comment is this: like the third eye, only it's the third ear. That's a great comment.
Exactly.
And we have an article, If You Can Moan, You Can Tone. And it's on like, and it teaches people to listen to their otoacoustic emission if you want to go that direction, folks.
Yeah.
Do you have, and this is a chat room question, do you have a favorite exercise for opening people to themselves?
One of them, very simple, is to imagine you're seeing somebody you haven't seen for a very long time. And you have this delight in your eyes. And you just breathe in this, I don't know if you can hear that, but it's short of actually making the sound. It's just kind of breathing in and trying to feel coolness on the back of your throat. That helps to open the throat.
Another question, I don't even know if you can answer it. Do people choose their favorite things in nature because of the sounds that they produce, like trees or rocks or stone or a gym or a place?
Well, certainly I think that there's truth to that we need certain vibrations. You know, there might be missing vibrations in our beings, and certain rocks or trees or places help us tune. They help fill in something that's missing. That's one way of looking at it.
Does, and this is another chat room question, does the tones and sounds that you make relate to your chakras and your aura? Great question.
Yes, that is a great question. There is a lot of different with chakra toning. My colleague and friend James D'Angelo just wrote a new book that came out. Unfortunately, I don't have it right in front of me, but I will find a way to bring that to you. I'll post it on my Facebook site tonight. And it's all about tuning the chakras, and James has some wonderful exercises that are different than the ones that I had been doing, which, you know, I think also work, but the basic rule of thumb that lower tones vibrate the lower parts of the body, higher tones vibrate the higher parts of the body, and if you start from a low ah to an oo to an o, ah for the heart, I like to use ah for the throat, I for the third eye, and E for the crown chakra. Those are the tones that I use.
We would, is that explained in any of your books anywhere?
It's not explained in my books, no. It's not.
I've contacted James about being on our show. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I think he would I think he would make a great guest. Another question.
Oh, I think he would be a great guest. Yes, he would. Yes. Highly recommended.
Another great question from the audience. Are there special healing sounds, or are they different for everyone?
You know, I like that question because, in a way, I think they are different for everyone. And the reason I say that is because of all the teaching that I've done. For instance, the chakra tones and the vowels that I just gave you, people experience them in different places. And what I might need as a 5'2" woman who you know has thin bones might be different than what a 6'2" man with very large bones needs. So I think it's really individual. I think that there's certainly universals, but I think that a lot of this work really is about tuning into the individual and listening to what they need, being guided, the sonic guidance system.
Susan Elizabeth Hale, you are a great guest, and unfortunately we're out of time.
Oh, and great to be with you, Sherry, and with all of these wonderful questions. Thank you all for listening in.
You have great information. And so if you're going to be doing workshops or appearing anywhere, please let us know. We'll get that out to our people. We'll have you back when your book comes out, or any of the singing choirs that you want to do and tell us about. Please share that.
Share that with you on Facebook.
There are so many more questions that I didn't get to and so many I wanted to ask, but I thought the audience's questions were so much better than what I was asking.
Oh, well, great.
So thank all of you for being here. Thank you, Susan, for sharing with us, and I'm sure a lot of people will get in touch with this fellow, George Mark Sheave.
George Mark Chevenet.
Yes, George. Mm-hmm. About these pictures, because that's a glorious picture about all of this. Remember, too, we've got some two-day classes coming up, technician classes, and there are 14 softwares that people can choose from to be part of that class and open their own center. We are going to be using Happy Hour also to give away software for the public so that we can reach our goal of having a community bioacoustic center in every community. I am going to ask Susan if we can link to or put one of her, at least one of her videos, up on our site. Kathleen Nagy has some information on the site already about humming and toning, but I think that we should have Susan Elizabeth Hale information up there also, so we'll negotiate that off the air. Certainly appreciate.
Yeah.
Oh, you just heard her. She gave permission.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
Those of you who are posting in the chat room, thank you for your questions. And this has been a group effort. There's been a lot of us trying to keep up with all of this and give people access to this great and incredible information about our voice and expression.
Thank you.